Just a reminder again, we will not have a committee hearing on Friday. We do have that time off. I think you already knew that, but just wanted to reemphasize that. I mentioned last week we'd be looking at some manufactured housing issues, hopefully this week, but we're not going to be able to do that. They're not ready yet, and so I hope to do that the week after, perhaps. All right, we will open the public hearing on House Bill 2093, and Representative Betsy Close, please. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Chair Wilson, members of the committee, for hearing House Bill 2093. Do you have my letterhead, a copy of this editorial? Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Could you tell us just a bit about the bill and in an overall sense, and then we'll get down to the specifics.
Okay. This is a situation that came up in the interim in my district in Linn County, where property is foreclosed for non-payment of taxes, and then it is basically auctioned off by the sheriff on the steps of the courthouse. This was a situation where one of the county commissioners bought foreclosed land through an intermediary, and then at the sheriff's sale, and then had the property signed over to himself and his wife after the purchase. It's legal, but it prompted this editorial that you see before you, that it brought forth a possible conflict of interest, and it's an appearance of wrongdoing, even though the statute doesn't say it can't be done. So I thought that was a good point that the editorial writer took, and so I sponsored this bill on his behalf
Thank
to
you.
Prohibit this practice.
Okay. Do we have any questions for Representative Close? I wanted to ask you about some of the technical language in this. Do you have anybody to deal with that, or would you answer a question or two about that?
Well, we have a Linn County commissioner here that we could call forward.
Yeah, there were some specific articles of language here that I wanted to address, but I'll get to Representative Gardner first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Close, I can certainly see why an elected or appointed official, but why any county employee?
Well, we discussed that. I discussed that with legislative counsel, and the feeling was that if you applied it to just the commissioners, you should apply it to any official that had power or authority over foreclosure, and so that's why we included county official.
For the questions, Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Close, is the controlling language in this relative to conflict of interest in Section 3, starting in line 15, an actual conflict of interest is created under this section by discretionary action or decision of the county employee related to the acquisition management, et cetera. So an employee of the county that had nothing to do with what went on the foreclosure rolls would actually not be barred from making a purchase at one of these sales because they would not have a conflict of interest. Is that the way it would read?
Well, I suppose for legal questions we should call on legislative counsel who wrote this because I gave them this editorial and they came up with that language.
Okay.
Personally, you know, I'd be willing to draw the line in an amendment, but where we draw that line, I would want legislative counsel to give me counsel on.
Thank you. I think what I'm reading here in Section 3 is the fact that this actual conflict of interest will relate to those who are involved either by discretion or a decision are actually involved in the foreclosure. But I would like to talk to legislative counsel about the ministerial action or decision of the county employee, which is listed in line 18.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a question I'll have for him.
Would you like to do that?
Good afternoon, Representative Close. Did Mr. Johnson, before he purchased the land, make any statement of a conflict of interest?
To my knowledge, it was largely unknown until the purchase had gone through, and actually several years later when he was up for running for re-election.
I guess one final question I might have, and just your thoughts on this, line 14 of the bill, where it refers to an intermediary purchasing the property for the said employee. somebody prove that? And would there be a length of time that would be acceptable for an intermediary purchasing and then to be able to sell to the primary individual here? Any thoughts on that?
Well, having an intermediary at all, to me, it gives a bad appearance. It gives an appearance of wrongdoing. And so, you know, I'm not comfortable with intermediaries purchasing in that fashion. I guess the way you prove it is you look at the records and you know, obviously you can see that the property was signed over to another person. It would be easy to prove, I would think.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's a period of time when the trail can cool off to the point where suddenly it's okay, you know, for that transfer. But just thinking out loud. Representative Berger.
Yes, Representative Close. Let me just be sure that I understand exactly the process you're talking about, because it's always worried me a little bit. When property is going to be available, it's advertised in some very small print in the very back of a newspaper, which many people don't read. County people that would be dealing with property might have an advantage. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but might have an advantage in that they would know about this prior to that. Much more knowledgeable in a direct line of communication and information than the public that would have just this small thing. So I think there, again, I've always worried about the imbalance of that type of thing, not taking it as far as you did, as far as someone then being able to buy it. So that's all. I just wanted to be sure that that's the type of thing that you're thinking about.
Chair Wilson, Representative Berger?
Berger, like a J.
Okay. That came into my mind as well. I talked to the Association of Oregon Counties, and they said there are commissioners that just never do this just because of the appearance. But you could look at that both ways. You could say, well, it's published for everybody to see, therefore it's fair and open. But I think, as you say, we all realize that most of us don't have that inside knowledge. We don't have the time to search those columns. So I think that county people in county government that work with these situations would have an advantage in actuality. You could look at that both ways, I guess.
Okay, thank you for the questions. All right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to have Roger Nyquist come forward, please. I've put in a request for legislative counsel to pay us a visit here and hope to see them a little bit. We'll ask them a few more specifics about this. It's not my intention to move this bill, but I do want to massage it thoroughly. Welcome, would you identify?
Thank you. Sure. Chairman Wilson, committee members, for the record, my name is Roger Nyquist. I live at 3264 Southeast in Albany, Oregon. I am a Linn County commissioner. I have not bought any property at county auction. I want you to know that before we get started here. I think this is a good and important bill for a number of reasons, and I'll touch on just a few of those for you. The first is raised by Representative Berger, and that the first question that comes up is, did a county commissioner have access to information that the public didn't have, what I would call inside information? For example, if a piece of property does not have easement rights to it, and it is going up for auction, a county elected official could very well knock on the neighbor's door, go over and view and have access to that property where a joke you citizen may not, which is not good. Another problem it creates is that as a county commissioner, I feel I have a fiduciary responsibility to the county and to look after their assets and to get market value as close to it as I can for that property. In this case, we had property bought at 11% of market value. 11% appraised value by a county commissioner. And another problem that creates is that we now have before us folks who offered more than 11% of market value at auction whose offers were rejected, and they now want to know why. So it's just a messy deal, and think that it ought not happen, the point of having law against such type of activity.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Garrard.
But wouldn't you think that that's, you're talking about two different things, though, as far as disclosure versus allowing a county employee to purchase foreclosed upon land? And aren't you really talking about two different things?
I'm talking about anyone who would have access to information or potential access to that information that the general public does not. And Whether you disclose it in the manner you disclose it, I suppose depends on degree. If the matter, if the message of disclosure is along the same profile as which that the property is advertised for auction in the first place, I'm not comfortable with.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Walker.
Mr. Lindsay, I see here you have a proposal that you would like to see that the property is offered to the previous owner before it's offered to public sale in this letter.
I'm Commissioner Nyquist. That is a letter from my co-commissioner John Lindsay.
And what I see there is that apparently maybe the county does not, Linn County does not have a procedure to do that. Counties I've been familiar with and federal government as well always did offer it to the previous owner first if it was a result of a tax sale. Does your county not?
I believe that normal policy is that we do. And in this case, I think that what Commissioner Lindsay is requesting is an amendment that would allow an elected official or somebody that had something to do with foreclosed property to go ahead and purchase that if they were the previous owner of record of that property. Are you with me?
What I'm wondering is that, what I question, I guess, is why would we want to make this a state process if it were left to the discretion of the counties? Because a lot of, I mean, the counties I've been familiar with do it. And some of it's within their rulemaking process at the county level. And it's trying to be elevated to the state level where we would require them to do that?
No. What the amendment would do, as I understand it, it's not my amendment, but as I understand it, in the event that there was property foreclosed on that a county employee or an elected official had previously owned, they would be allowed to participate in bidding on that property, where otherwise this rule or this law would prohibit that from happening.
Okay. Thank you.
Further. All right, Mr. Knight.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next up would be Bob Kentine, AOC.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Bob Kentine with the Association of Oregon Counties, and I have not visited with Linn County on this bill. I have visited with a representative, Close, who was the sponsor of it, and told her that, at least from the contacts I've made with other county commissioners, that the situation they face was an embarrassment to them, and I understand that. And I think we would hope that that approach to an elected official purchasing property would not be the way in which they attempt to do it under foreclosure. The question I had was whether this went too far and said, look at it, you can't even go out on the courthouse steps where the sheriff's having the auction for the property and put a bid in when he's out there auctioning it. That's the question that I think you have to answer, is how far does this reach? A number of commissioners have said, look, we don't even do it. We don't even go out there and bid just because we're afraid of the appearance. I'm just raising for you the issue of whether there is, in fact, a conflict and you want to reach that far when you're talking about a public process where the sheriff does it on the courthouse steps and you're out there with a bid. There's a minimum value placed on it by statute. So there's a lot of protections in there as well, but that is your call, and we are not going to take a position either way on that. I simply want to raise it for your consideration.
Thank you.
I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions? Thank you very much. I am going to have the committee stand at ease for just a moment. I have legislative counsel coming back here in just a moment, and before we leave this today, I would like to have Section 3 defined just a little better for us here before we break. I'm not going to work this bill today, but I would like to take advantage of the opportunity to learn more about Section 3 there. Okay? We'll stand at ease for a moment.